Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by the Fredcast. This almost daily summary of the 2008 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, for weekly news, product reviews, upcoming events, and everything you need to know about the world of cycling. Listen to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. The Fredcast can be found at www.thefredcast.com, iTunes, or anywhere you normally look for podcasts. For over 2 years and 100 episodes, the Fredcast is the internet's premier cycling podcast. The Daily Tour is also brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you for your donations via PayPal, and if you'd like to donate, please visit our website at www.thefredcast.com. And now, it's time for the Tour de France 2008 edition of the Daily Tour Podcast. Hey, good morning, fellow Tour de France fans. This is David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, and welcome back to another edition of the Daily Tour. Well, today is Sunday, July the 20th. One more week, and we will be on the roads of Paris, France, and the Champs-Élysées to crown this year's Tour de France champion. But there are still several stages to go between now and then, including today's stage 15. Well, before we get into today's stage, as always, let's look at who are your jersey leaders. In the yellow jersey, it's still Australia's Cadel Evans from Ceylon Slotto, and he's leading after having ridden 59 hours, 1 minute, and 55 seconds. Now, having ridden 59 hours, 1 minute, and 56 seconds is your second place rider, Frank Schleck from Luxembourg and Team CSC Saxo Bank. In third, Christian Vandevelde from the United States and Garmin Chipotle. He's 38 seconds back. In fourth, Bernhard Kohl from Austria and Team Gerolsteiner, 46 seconds back. And in fifth, Denis Menchov from Russia and Team Rabobank, 56 seconds back. In the green jersey, it's Oscar Freire, also from Rabobank, 219 points in the sprint classification. In the polka dot jersey, Sebastian Long from Germany and Team Gerolsteiner with 60 points. And in the white, it is still Italy's Vincenzo Nibali from Team Liquigas. Well, today is stage 15 of the Tour de France. We will be leaving France in Embrun and entering Italy when we cross the beyond category climb of Col Agnelle. Will then be descending into Italy for a final climb into the Italian town of Prato Nevoso, 183 kilometers from the start. Again, at 14 and a half kilometers, we've got an intermediate sprint. Then the summit of the Col Agnelle at 58 kilometers into today's race. Perhaps what makes the Col Agnelle such a difficult climb and why it's a beyond category climb is that it is 20.5 kilometers from the base of the official climb to the summit at an average of 6.6% grade. That is one tough mountain to climb. From there, the riders will descend to a feed zone at 102 kilometers into the race, and then at 114.5 kilometers, the last intermediate sprint of today's race. Then, at 157 kilometers is the top of the Category 3 Col del Morte, the Mountain of Death. It's a 1.7 kilometer climb with an average of 7.2%. Again, Category 3. And then from there, the riders make their way toward the final climb of the day, Prato Nevoso. It's 11.4 kilometers, an average of 6.9%, and that makes it a Category 1 climb. One significant bit of news before the start of today's stage is that four-stage winner in this year's Tour de France, Mark Cavendish, has called it a tour. He decided not to take the start line today, basically saying, quote, "I've done enough here with four-stage wins. I'll take a week's rest, then I'll start to concentrate on the Olympics. Makes a certain amount of sense. He has had a lot of success here. And really, as we get into the high mountains of the Alps, this really is not his territory. So why not take it a little bit easy, rest those legs, rest the body, and get ready for Beijing, which begins in just a couple of weeks. So congratulations, Mark Cavendish. Chapeaux to you. You've done an amazing job in this year's Tour de France. Good luck as you head toward the Olympics. Along the way today, we also had a couple of other riders decide to abandon the Tour de France, including Australian Mark Renshaw from Crédit Agricole and also Steen DeVolder. DeVolder's had a very good Tour de France. Both of these guys really are not GC contenders. Makes a certain amount of sense. They can save their legs for another day and for another race. Today was not a particularly beautiful day for the riders of the peloton of the Tour de France, because they were dealing with wind and rain, and the roads were very slick. And even in places where the rain had stopped, especially towards the end of today's stage, the slick roads and all of the oils and greases that had been brought to the surface by those rains really did cause riders some problems. And we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes, especially as we start talking about the end of today's stage. Once again, very early in today's stage, a break formed, and it included Danny Pate from the United States, Jose Luis Arrieta, and Igoi Martinez, and they were soon joined by Simon Gerrans. At the first sprint, Martinez took first place points, Arrieta second, and Danny Pate took third place points. At the top of the climb, Martinez took first place points, Arrieta second place, Gerrans third, and of course, Danny Pate took fourth place points. And at that point, our breakaway of four men was a good 13 minutes ahead of the rest of the peloton. Now, there was one strange sight that I caught, and I didn't see it in any of the other news coverage, and I didn't hear it on any of the commentating that was going on, but just as they were approaching the top of that beyond category climb, remember, after over 20 kilometers of climbing, all the riders were beginning to put on their rain jackets and vests and things like that. Danny Pate took what looked like a musette from what also looked to be a fan. It looked very strange to me. I think that that is not allowed in the rules. We'll see whether or not we see anything coming up, maybe a penalty for the team or something over the next 24 hours. But maybe I didn't see it properly. Maybe you all saw something different. If you did, email me, thefredcast@gmail.com. But it looked really strange to me, and I wasn't exactly sure what had happened there. Now, about 11 or 12 minutes later, the rest of the peloton summited the Beyond Category Col d'Agnel, and this was how the points stacked up. Fifth place went to Thomas Vokler, sixth, Bernhard Kohl, seventh, Remy Di Gregorio, eighth, Yaroslav Popovich, in ninth, John Lee Augustine, and in tenth, Frank Schleck from Team CSC Saxo Bank. And shortly after that, disaster struck the peloton when, on a banking turn, it looked like Oscar Pereiro may have come up very quickly on Robbie Hunter's rear wheel. There must have been a touch of wheels, at which point Pereiro went down and out and over a guardrail and down the hill. Pereiro, who, as you know, is now the official champion of the 2006 Tour de France after Floyd Landis lost his final appeal at the Court of Arbitration for Sport a few weeks ago based on the positive doping test for testosterone in that 2006 Tour de France. There were conflicting reports. At first, it sounded like he may have, Pereiro now we're talking about, it sounded like he may have broken a collarbone, but then the reports were that he broke his shoulder and his femur. Later on, Christian Prudhomme, the director of the ASO and the Tour de France director, said that Pereiro had not broken his femur. Nevertheless, Pereiro is out of the 2008 Tour de France, certainly also out of the 2008 Beijing Olympics. And of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to Oscar Pereiro for a speedy and a full recovery. It was a very scary crash. If I can find video of it, I will definitely post it up on the website. I think you're going to want to see this. And what was interesting, and is always interesting in the Tour de France, is that a lot of the peloton saw and certainly heard about what happened with Pereiro. And at that point, the peloton was really leading a charge to try to bring back this break. And the peloton slowed. At first, to allow Pereiro, had he not been injured, to rejoin the peloton and continue their charge toward the break. And then really more out of respect and certainly out of a little bit of, you know, their but for the grace of God go I sort of a feeling, the peloton remained slow for several kilometers after that crash. It's just another way of pointing out the sportsmanship and the gentlemanly way the pro peloton is supposed to act in a race like the Tour de France. So again, thoughts and prayers go out to Oscar Pereiro. And as a result, perhaps, of the slowdown of the peloton, the gap continued to increase between our four breakaway riders of Gerans, Arrieta, Martinez, and Pate, and at one point going up over 17 minutes. At the day's second sprint, first place points went to Simon Gerrans, second to Danny Pate, and third to José Luis Arrieta. Now, with a 17-minute lead, it seemed fairly probable that this breakaway, if nobody blew up, this breakaway was going to succeed today. However, nobody in this breakaway could do any damage on the general classification. The best ranked rider in the general classification in this break today was Igoe Martinez, and he started the day 53 minutes and 16 seconds back of Cadel Evans, so that there was really no way that he was going to do any damage. But again, a stage victory is excellent, adds to your palmares, certainly adds to the prestige of the team, as well as to your own prestige, and certainly is good for giving some great exposure to your team's sponsors. So certainly no reason, just because you can't be a contender in the general classification, certainly no reason why you really wouldn't want to go for that stage victory. It always is quite an honor. Now again, perhaps as a result of the rain today and the slick roads, as the peloton started to go around a roundabout, and you've seen this before, they enter the roundabout and then some go around to the left and some go around to the right. As they went through this one roundabout today, before they ever got to the climb of the Col del Morte, both sides of the peloton experienced crashes at essentially the same point in the turn, just one in the left turn and one in the right turn, and a number of riders went down. Thank goodness nobody was seriously injured, and they all got back up, but it really pointed out how the weather can have a big effect on the pro peloton in the Tour de France. Now, by the time they got to the summit of the next climb, the Category 3 Col del Morte, the Mountain of Death, first place points went to Arrieta, second to Martinez, third to Gerans, and fourth to Pate. And at this point, Pate really looked like he was suffering. Spaces opening up between him and the other three on many portions of the climb. But by the time we got to the end of today's stage, it really seemed like either he had been saving his energy or he really had fooled the other guys into thinking that he was weak today because he was right up there at the finish. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, for most of the end of today's stage, the peloton chasing our four breakaway riders was led by Team CSC. Yes, absolutely, C. Lancelotto and Cadel Evans were there, but it was the bulk of Team CSC with O'Grady and Voigt leading the charge. And then in the end, Andy Schleck doing a yeoman's job, really being very aggressive for his team, obviously trying to get Schleck to gain time on Evans, or perhaps Sastry to gain time on Evans. Evans was there. He had a lieutenant or two with him, but it really was the bulk of the CSC team that was closing the gap between the peloton and the break. Never able to finally close the gap, but the whole point was put the hurt on, try to get Evans to crack, and try to get that yellow jersey off of his shoulders. On the final climb of the day, Arrieta was dropped by his three breakaway compatriots, Martinez, Pate, and Gerrans, heading up the road without him. And at the end of the day, it was Simon Gerrans from Australia and Crédit Agricole who took the day's stage. 4 hours, 50 minutes, and 44 seconds. Second place went to Igoe Martinez from Team Euskaltel-Euskadi, 3 seconds back. Danny Pate from Garmin Chipotle taking third place, 10 seconds back and 55 seconds back, making his way up to Prato Nevoso on his own, José Luis Arrieta from Spain and AG2R. But meanwhile, the real action of the day was taking place back about, well, at this point, 5 or 10 minutes behind our breakaway riders, the real action was taking place in the yellow jersey group in the peloton. CSC really putting the hurt on Cadel Evans, and Evans looking pale and as if he was suffering. At one point, even Denis Menchov took off and attacked the peloton, looked like he was going to go, then inexplicably crashing. Andy Schleck, who had tried to catch on to his wheel, continuing up the road, bringing the yellow jersey group of about 10 riders along with him. Menchov, amazingly, getting back up on his bike, grabbing back on, and making additional attacks as they headed up the hill. This group that was being led by Team CSC, especially by Andy Schleck, who, again, just an amazing performance by Andy Schleck today. This group included yellow jersey Cadel Evans, included Carlos Sastre, included Alejandro Valverde, Andy Schleck, Frank Schlecht, Christian Vandevelde, all of the general classification contenders were there, all of them, except for Evans, looking like they were trying to put the hurt on Evans to make sure that they could try to take the yellow jersey off of his shoulders. And he looked vulnerable, and they knew it, and they were trying to take advantage as best as they could. Eventually, Carlos Sastre went, Menchov went with him, Cole went with him, and then they were able to open up a 30 or 40 meter gap, and then Christian Vandevelde bridged to them, and then eventually, so did Alejandro Valverde. By the time they reached the finish line, fifth place went to Bernhard Kohl from Team Gerolsteiner, going away, sixth to Carlos Sastre, seventh Alejandro Valverde, eighth to Denis Menchov, ninth Frank Schleck, and 10th to Christian Vandevelde. Then it came down to timing and the legs of Cadel Evans. Could he cross the finish line in enough time to retain the yellow jersey? At the end of the day, the answer was no. Wearing the yellow jersey in stage 16 on Tuesday after tomorrow's rest day will be Frank Schleck from Luxembourg and Team CSC Saxo Bank. He's got a total time of 63 hours, 57 minutes, and 21 seconds. And in second place, Bernhard Kohl from Austria and Team Gerolsteiner, 7 seconds behind Schleck. 8 seconds behind Schleck. Third place now, Cadel Evans from Silans Lotto. Fourth in the general classifications and 38 seconds behind Frank Schleck, Denis Menchov from Team Rabobank. In fifth, Christian Vandevelde from Team Garmin-Chipotle. He's 39 seconds back of Schleck. In sixth, Carlos Sastre from CSC Saxo Bank, 49 seconds back. In seventh, it's Kim Kirken from Team Colombia, 2 minutes and 48 seconds behind Schleck. 3 minutes, 38 seconds behind Vladimir Efimkin is in eighth place from AG2R. In ninth, Alejandro Valverde from Spain and Castaparna, 4 minutes and 11 seconds back. And rounding out the top 10, it's Samuel Sanchez from Spain and Euskaltel Euskadi, 4 minutes, 34 seconds behind. Our new yellow jersey, Frank Schleck from Team CSC Saxo Bank. Wearing the green jersey going into Stage 16, Oscar Freire from Spain and Team Rabobank, he's got 219 sprint points. Wearing the polka dot now, a new polka dot King of the Mountains winner, Bernhard Kohl from Team Gerolsteiner, 85 KOM points. And in the white jersey, it's still Vincenzo Nibali from Italy and Team Liquigas. Well, tomorrow, Monday, July the 21st, is a rest day in the Tour de France. And after today's brutal stage with all those crashes, I think that the riders could really use a rest day. And hopefully they will use that rest day to the best of their advantage, because Tuesday's stage 16 is no piece of cake. The riders leave Italy in Cuneo. They then head toward Jossières in France, 157 kilometers later. Along the way, two intermediate sprints and two beyond category climbs until they reach Jossières and a downhill finish. It should be an exciting stage. 157 kilometers with both of those beyond category climbs. This is what the Tour de France is all about. Well, glad to have a rest day myself tomorrow. Hope that you will be with me again on Tuesday, both here on the podcast and on the Twitter feed. Get out there and go for a ride yourself. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you again on Tuesday. So long. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. That's thefredcast@gmail.com. Or you can send a voicemail to area code 435-258-6373. That's 435-258-6FRED. Be sure to follow our frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is DailyTour. Remember, there's no space. And you can sign up for those at twitter.com/DailyTour or by sending a text message to 40404 with the words follow Daily Tour. And of course, please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com for the final results of the day's racing and, of course, for the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. I will see you all again on the next episode of the Daily Tour or the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Please don't forget to tell your friends about the show. We love to get new listeners. And in the meantime, thank you for listening to the Daily Tour Podcast.